In the name of Jesus, amen. Everything depends upon that little seed growing in Mary's womb. Make no mistake, the sweet little infant growing in gentle Mary is nothing less than a cosmic act of war. This is the heavenly invasion. This is the return of the King. The angel Gabriel says so himself. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. If Christmas is only warmth and sentiment, then we have not yet seen it as the holy angels do. Whether we see it or not, the hopes and the fears of all the years come down to this: a little speck of life in the belly of a young woman against the great dragon, that serpent of old, and all his fallen horde. Not exactly good odds. One little embryo against all that evil. Might as well be one little snowball tossed into hell. Not good odds at all, but just the kind of odds that God likes, because to him there's no such thing. So the angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as drifted snow, with eyes as flame, to announce to Mary that she had found the favor of God. By the Spirit and the overshadowing of the Most High, she was to conceive a little speck of life and bear the little child who would be the champion of our entire race. Such is the way of God, to make his strength perfect in weakness. Not so with men. We put our trust in strength. Governments and their armies are strong. Rich men and their companies are strong. When the Muslims attacked America, they did something so ancient that the meaning might escape us, but not them. They attacked our gods, knocked down our idols. No churches were directly attacked. Whatever happens in the churches, that's not America's real God. They attacked the idol of financial power and the idol of military might. They toppled our gods in order to show that true strength lies with them and their God. Man is obsessed with strength, but not our God. The one true God is above all financial power and all military might. He is above the God of the Muslims in the same way that he was above the gods of the Philistines. But if we as Christians obsess over God's power and sovereignty, or grumble against him because he won't act more powerfully in our lives, then we misunderstand him. And instead of worshiping him as he is and as he has chosen to be, we turn his strength into an idol. God has chosen, Paul writes, the weak things of the world to put to shame those things which are mighty. God has chosen the weak things, weakness. And of course, for him, this is nothing new. Against all Egypt's dreadful might, he sent Moses with no army. Against the fortified citadel of Jericho, he sent Joshua with an army, but no weapons. Against the armored giant called Goliath, he sent a shepherd boy with no armor or sword, just 5 smooth stones. And the final blow would be delivered with Goliath's own sword. And so it should come as no surprise that when the Lord Himself finally comes for us to fight against all the powers of hell, He brings no heavenly chariots, no adamantine armor or flaming sword, but comes only as a little naked child. He has chosen the weak things to put to shame the mighty. In fact, He has chosen this from the very beginning. When God cursed the serpent, He said, "The seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head." What then does that dragon, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, what does that mighty being fear? Does he fear the flashing swords and spears of heaven's army? Does he fear a lightning bolt from the arm of sovereign God? No. He fears women. And of those, he fears most of all the pregnant kind. For the seed of a woman shall crush his head. With the weak thing of a mother and a child, God puts to shame the mighty devil and all his fallen host. And the Lord Jesus too, our champion, He uses weakness Himself, the weakness of death on a cross, whereby He overcomes all our enemies. Fast bound in Satan's chains we lay. Sin was our torment night and day. But through the Red Sea of His own blood, our Moses leads us out of bondage into sin and into a land flowing with His grace and goodness. When our Joshua shouts from the cross, "It is finished," the devil's kingdom comes crashing down like the walls of Jericho. And yes, your David has even torn the sword from Goliath's hand, torn the cross from death's cruel grip, and cleaved off death's head with death's own weapon. Your death is dead, dear Christian, and it is powerless against you. For by weakness, the weakness of the cross, He has removed from you all your sin, and by the weakness of the cross, He has overcome your death. By weakness, our champion overcomes all that is strong. So delighted is our Lord with weakness that He still uses it today. The weakness in your own life He uses. The weakness of Christians and His church He uses. Paul discovered the very same thing and wrote, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When the angel came to visit Mary and told her that she would conceive and bear a son, we see the beginning of the fulfillment of God's oldest promise. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. So delighted is our God to have Satan tremble at women and children that even after our Christ has come, He continues the theme in our midst today. The weak woman that Satan must now fear and hate goes by the name Ecclesia, the church. Her holy womb is the holy font of baptism, and the children born to her of water and the Spirit are called sons and daughters of the Most High. Why would Satan ever fear little Evelyn, or tremble at the thought of people like us who are indeed so very weak. Because God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the strong. And just as our Lord Jesus has crushed the serpent's head for us, the scriptures also promise and say, soon the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.